So for today's sermon, we're going to be continuing in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Let's read through the scripture. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing over this time, that the words from your holy scriptures will fall on ears that are ready to hear and hearts that are open to the truth. We thank you and praise you for the instruction that you give us through your word. Help us to meditate on it and apply it to our lives. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. So reviewing last month, we first spoke about commandments. And secondly, we were encouraged because we have known the Father. If we can remember back to where I ended the previous sermon, I'd like to read 1 John 2:14 with emphasis on the last part of the verse. 1 John 2:14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. The wicked one pulls us and uses the pleasures of this world to tempt us. In verses 15 through 17, we are issued a warning that we need to listen to. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Well, what does it mean to love? The English word love is vague. And we really could use more words or better words in our language for love. I can say, I love my wife. And I can say, I love ice cream. Do I mean the same thing? Certainly not. I love my wife more than any person on this earth, and I would do anything I could for her. I do love ice cream. But about the same amount as cookies, cheeseburgers, cake, steak, and other assorted foods. Let's just start with food. These loves are not the same. When I was in school, I remember hearing about four different kinds of love. Eros, the physical attraction between man and woman. Philia, friendly love. Think Philadelphia, which is called the city of brotherly love. Storge, a familial love. And agape, unconditional love. Now, having attended a Christian school, I was taught in class the importance of agape love. The unconditional love God has for us. A quick research on the internet in today's world brought back seven different types of love. They've expanded it. All with different meanings. The point of this is the word love is hard to define in the English language. So what does the love mean in do not love the world or the things in the world? To give us context, let's look at the word in the Greek. Agapao is the word in the Greek and is also used in the following verses. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Through study, it seems pretty clear that the word love in do not love the world or the things in the world is an unconditional love, an agape love, not an ice cream kind of love. This verse is asking where your unconditional love lies. Is it for the Father, or is it for the things of this world? If our unconditional love is for this world and the things of this world, how can the love of the Father be in us? So practically, what does this mean? Are we not supposed to love earthly things? No, this is not the case. Please love your wife and your family. Yes, they are of this world. God commands us to love. Did we not read from 1 John 2:10? He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Our brother is from this world, and God calls us to love him. We can love things of this world as long as it doesn't contradict, supplant, or hinder our love of God, or cause us to sin or stumble. Let me give you a few examples. Should I love my wife? Yes, I'm commanded to. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. However, what if my wife was not a Christian or was a Christian and pleaded me for me to do something sinful? Would my love for her cause me to forsake my love of God? If my love of entertainment caused me to forsake my studies, my obligations, my job, church, and my family, who or what in that situation would be my ultimate love? God or the world? Let's look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life are what tempt us every day. Paul writes about the flesh in Galatians. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a lot in there. The lust of the eyes is to look upon something that we shouldn't, to desire something that is not ours. Coveting would fall under this. The 10th commandment states from Exodus 20:17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. The lust of the eyes often leads to the lust of the flesh. Pride of life. The pride of life is the temptation for excess greatness or power. Pride in ourselves and what we have accomplished. We desire all the glory and we take credit where no credit is due. Yep, it's all me. We want to make a name for ourselves, to be viewed as great. We feel the need to take power for power's sake. We want the control and to be able to exercise it over others. From Isaiah 14:13-14, we can pull an example from Satan. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Let's look at some examples of temptation and how they were handled in Scripture. Now, who remembers original sin? Who was involved? Kids, who was involved in the first sin? Yeah. Good. Adam and Eve. But let's take a moment and recount the fall. Now the serpent was more cunning, this is coming from Genesis 3:1-6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now we're going to verse 6. Now I'm going to interject here in between. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Adam and Eve gave in to the lusts of the world. But there's a passage in the Bible where we see the perfect example avoiding the lusts of the world. From Matthew 4:1-10. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Jesus was tempted by the devil. First, the lust of the flesh. He had eaten nothing while fasting, and he was hungry. Second, he was tempted by pride of life, as he could have commanded his safety. And lastly, by the lust of the eyes, as he oversaw all the kingdoms of earth. Jesus refuted the temptations with the word of God. The book of James speaks of temptations. In James 1, 12 through 15, Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The scripture is clear. If we do not endure when we are tempted, a desire of the flesh begins. It becomes sin and brings forth death. Lust of the world desires things of this world, not of the Father. And all of these things that are desire pass away. Let's look at verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So I get up in the morning. I look in the mirror. Looks a little bit different than when I was younger. I notice a space up here. There used to be hair there, I promise. And some things have grown a little larger and rounder, and we all get older, and our looks fade away over the years. I like to move around when I'm studying and preparing. I looked out my window, around the backyard of my house, and I remember what our kids' playset looked like when we first built it, years ago. The swings are now missing. There's somehow a tree that's grown up through the middle of it. And many of the boards are broken or gone. I walk through the house and notice the cabinets and carpets that have been well loved. When we moved into our house, the cabinets were freshly painted and the carpet newly installed. I remember the beauty of those things and realize it's passed away. I sat back and thought about the years that I've been teaching kids here at my job. I've watched children grow into adults. I've heard countless stories about their Lego collections and the video games they're spending so much time trying to beat or excel in. And within a few years, those collections of Legos are given away. The video games that they spent so much time and effort on have been replaced, and all has passed away. I look at my car, a 1999 Buick, that my grandpa gave me after he stopped driving a few years back. The car had always been garaged and had been driven just enough over the previous 5 or 6 years to keep it running. It was nice, until its age quickly caught up with it. Daily driving, 7 kids in the house, and a dusty driveway for its new home, and it's begun to fade away. The desires of this life are not lasting. They do not endure. All things of this world fade and pass away. But God does not. Psalm 102:12. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God and his words will last forever. 1 John 2:17 ends with, But he who does the will of God abides forever. With the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can accomplish the will of God. He has covered our sins and allows us to abide in the blessings and promises of the Lord forever. How can we apply these verses to our lives, and what can we do? Romans 13:14 states, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? To wear, to kind of tuck ourselves inside, cover ourselves. The first thing we can do is try and protect ourselves and our family spiritually. I'm talking about the dangers of the influence of the world. This is a challenge for everyone, but there are some points of wisdom here. Who do we spend the most time with? If you're sending your kids off to public school, they're spending the most time with people who have a very different agenda than Christians who are trying to walk with the Lord. Won't the kids be tempted, influenced, and possibly end up with the love of the world instead of pursuing the love of God? In our personal lives, if we're spending all of our time with non-believers and people that are involved in things that we shouldn't be, is that going to be beneficial for us? 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Proverbs 12:26. "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Is the influence of the world creeping into our minds through television, movies, or the internet? What are we reading? What are we watching? What are we listening to? If we surround ourselves with filth, aren't we going to be stained? Are we in jobs that cause us to pursue the world instead of Christ? One of the most challenging things I've had to do personally is walk away from a career that I enjoyed and was successful at. But the reason I left was simple. In the climate of the time, I could not be successful in my job while at the same time be honoring the Lord. One of them had to give, and I walked away. The second thing we can do is try and avoid the pride of life. I don't watch a lot of sports anymore, and never really watch like award shows and such, but I see the highlights online sometimes, and I cringe a little bit every time because of the hypocrisy when I see or hear a pro athlete or actress start to speak, and the first words are, "First, I want to thank God for this opportunity." Now, whether the words are genuine, and I'm sure in some cases they are, I will say this. This is the time where these popular public figures have it right. Our first thoughts and words about our successes should be, "Praise God. Thank God." Nothing comes from us. We cannot take pride in the life we lead. It is solely due to the mercies of our Heavenly Father. And we must rely on our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And when we fall short, we can remember to what we've covered in 1 John. From 1 John 1:7, we remember he covers our failings. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From 1 John 2, verse 1, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And from 1 John 2:12, "Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Our hope is not in ourselves that we can overcome the love of the world. We will fail. And if we did believe that we could overcome it ourselves, that would fall under the pride of life problem. We will fall short, but our shortcomings will be covered by Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time in your word. What a blessing for us to be able to learn from you. We thank you for the example set forth in Scripture of your Son to show us the way to handle temptation. We pray for the strength to overcome temptation and the wisdom to try and avoid these situations. Lord, help us to focus on you and not to fall into a love of this world. Amen. Please stand as we respond with a hymn of praise, O God of earth and altar. Thank you.